Okay. Picking up Sefer Sofim, chapter 6, Parak Vav, Pasuk. Yes, Pasuk Yodayin, you can say. So, Gidon had Malach appear to him, and maybe it was Pinchas, and then Pasuk describes how by Yisrael Elav Hashem, and then Hashem turned to him. So at first there was a Malach talking to him, and then it seems to describe that Hashem turned to him, and tells him, you're going to save Israel, you're going to lead the salvation, and Gidon asked for a sign. Pasuk Yadayim by Yomer Elav, and he said to him, if only I can find favor in your eyes, and you can make for me a sign that you are the one speaking to me. So we discussed last week that the Malbim presents two possibilities for why Gidon would be asking for a sign. First, we actually only talked about the first one. Today we'll discuss the second one. The first explanation that the Malbim gave was that Gidon was unsure if it was a direct nevuah through the Navi, or if it was was it Hashem speaking directly through this Malach, or was it an intermediary? The Malach was just representing the word of Hashem. And if it was a Malach representing the word of Hashem, an intermediary, then the salvation would come through an intermediary, which he understood to mean that it would be in natural ways and it would require a big army. And on the other hand, if it was Hashem giving him a direct nevuah, and Hashem would speak to him directly, and Hashem would be directly involved in the salvation, then it would come in a miraculous form. It would not require a great army. And that's what Gidon was inquiring by way of an oath, by way of a sign. He would bring a carbon. If the carbon was accepted, then he knew it was Hashem speaking directly to him, and that the salvation would come miraculously. But if the carbon was not accepted, if it was left there, or if it was teaching by this visitor, then that would show that this was just an intermediary, and that the salvation would come in natural ways. Exactly. And that's what we'll see in the next sukkim is exactly what happens. It's accepted and it's burnt up. The Malbim gives a second approach as to why Gidon would be asking for a sign. He says, we can suggest that no, Gidon knew exactly who was talking to him. He knew that he was having a nevuah directly from Hashem, that Hashem was speaking to him directly. But still, he required a sign for something. The sign wasn't to validate to who was speaking to him, even though that's definitely the simple understanding of the words of the pasuk. Give me a sign to Ata Medaber Imi, that you're speaking to me. But he suggests that there's a difference between a nevuah that a person experiences. Hashem gives someone a prophecy in order that he can be a sliach, a messenger to deliver this prophecy to the nation, right? And Hashem says, then tell the nation, right? That's one type of prophecy. And another one is just Hashem giving someone a personal prophecy of what's going to happen to you, to your family, to your descendants. That's a second form of prophecy. And there's a difference. A prophecy that is given that Hashem to ask you to tell the people, so that prophecy will never change. No matter what, that prophecy is going to come true. And even if, you know, it's a promise of salvation, and then B'nai Yisrael would start to sin more and stop doing tshuva and would no longer deserve that salvation, that prophecy still Hashem won't turn back from it. If it was a prophecy given to tell the nation, that Hashem would not turn back from. As opposed to a prophecy that's just a personal prophecy, or he gives, before I go there, he gives an example of this idea. that Pasuk describes in the Torah that a Navi after he davar b'shem Hashem will go, yeah, davar. They'll go, Yabohu Adavar Ashrago Dibra Hashem. If a Navi will say that something's going to happen and it doesn't, so you know it's a Navi Sheker, that he's a false prophet. That's explicit in the Torah. So that is by a Nevuah where he was supposed to deliver it to the people. So now they know what he said. He said something's going to happen and it didn't. But a personal Nevuah, if the circumstances change, then Hashem may change the history and change what's going to happen and not carry through on a certain prophecy.
So the difference is two types, the personal nevuah and a public nevuah.
Those are the two types, right.
Okay, so you mix up the personal nevuah with a public nevuah.
Well, not yet. So there are these two types. Zidon was apparently aware of this, and he was having a personal prophecy, and therefore he understood that this was not guaranteed. However, there's one way that guarantees even a personal prophecy, even a Dvar Hashem to Yeshivim, to individuals, if it comes with an oath or some sort of sign, then it doesn't change as well. That, he says, the Malbim says, that was the whole oath of the Brisking Abusarim, of the covenant that Hashem made with Avram, that they did it with an oath, with animals and all sorts of things going on there. So that was the personal. It wasn't Avram, go tell anyone. There was nobody he was supposed to tell about this. It was passed down, but here. Right, but that's not the distinction. The distinction isn't whether it's only about you. The distinction is there something that, you know, that you're supposed to go tell the nation right now? Like Moshe Rabbeinu, or most of the Nebuahs he gets are Daber al B'nei Yisrael, speak to B'nei Yisrael. Then he finds through Anavi, Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, you know, that they're supposed to be telling the nation. But the Brit thing on the Sarim was personal to Avram, and then he passed it on to his descendants, but it wasn't something that he was supposed to, you know, go and announce to the nation. But it was still guaranteed because, right, so exactly. So there was, but there it came with an oath and it came with a sign, and that was to serve as a promise that this will definitely be fulfilled. I won't go back on it. And we find, you know, that was very important because in Mitzrayim, according to many Midrashim, to some Midrashim, we didn't deserve to be taken out, and it was only because of the covenant that Hashem made with Abraham that we were taken out. So, no, that implies that. Right. This prophecy is also about the nation. This one is, I'm going to save the nation. But it's only, he's only telling Gideon. He doesn't tell Gideon, tell everybody. So, I would say all the more so it wasn't to tell anyone, because there was nobody to tell. So, the idea is, I guess, it's something that you're going to tell over, so now it's, you know, it's something that Hashem won't go back on, because he asked you to tell everyone about it. It's true, but that wasn't the type of prophecy. It wasn't something, go and tell everyone. So that's why he don't ask for an oath for a sign over here, because again it was a prophecy to him individually. Such a prophecy could change if B'nai Yisrael would no longer be deserving of the salvation. So Gideon says, give me an oath, give me a sign, and that way I'll know that this is not going to change, that the salvation is going to be carried out. So again, two pshatim, two approaches in the Malbim, why he's asking for a sign. One is to verify that it is Hashem speaking to him. He's not sure if it's Hashem or the Malach speaking to him. Through the sign, he'll know for sure that it's Hashem speaking to him and that the salvation will come in a miraculous fashion. The second approach is this one, that he knew it was Hashem speaking to him, but since it was an individual prophecy, without the oath, without the sign, it wasn't a guarantee that Hashem would keep to it in all circumstances, and therefore he asks for a sign to ensure that Hashem will indeed keep this prophecy no matter what would happen in terms of whether Bnei Yisrael deserves it or not.
It's a mala, you know, since it was a mala, Israel is who has sent. There wouldn't be a list, is that right?
In the first approach?
In the first approach, since it was a mala, that's why I wanted to know the difference.
If it was an intermediary.
If it was an intermediary, there would not be a list.
You're right, it wouldn't be accepted. It would just be either the carbon would sit there, or it would be eaten, like because it was just a person, you know, a Navi speaking to him.
So it has to come directly to Hashem in order for there to be that type of...
So if the carbon would be consumed, that would show that it was in fact Hashem, because a malach would not consume a carbon.
Right. No, but it's not a guarantee with a malach.
Right. So that's really over going to the second approach now. They're very distinct. And the second approach was about whether it was guaranteed or not. The type of nevuah, that a nevuah to an individual is not guaranteed unless it comes with a sign. Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Know what to do.
Exactly. Continuing on, Pasuk Yud, verse 18. So, you don't ask the Malach, Al Na Samos Mizeh. Please do not move from here, Ad Bowie Elecha, until I come to you. And I will take out my mincha, my sacrifice, and I will place it before you. And the malach replied, Anochi eshev ad shuvecha, I will wait until your return. Pasuk Yates, the Gidon ba, and Gidon came, vayas v'di'izim, and he prepared a goat, the ephah temach, and an ephah of flour, temach matzo, so flour for matzah. We've mentioned in the past that it was Pesach. This is where we see it, that he was preparing matzos. And actually, he's actually preparing the carbon omer, I believe. Rashi says that the ephah of flour for matzah. Rashi says, we see that it was Pesach, the day of the waving of the Omer, and we'll see this theme, we're going to come back to this carbon mincha, the carbon Omer, we're going to hopefully eventually discuss further. Habas? Right. The first day of Pesach. Habasar sam basal, the meat he placed in a basket, the hamarak sam bakarur, and the juices from the meat, the soup, the gravy, he placed in a pot, a vat, hayotze eva v'altachas ha'eva v'yagas, and he brought it out to under the tree where the malach was, v'yagas, and he approached. The Malvin points out that all of these items were both edible and, I guess, carbonable. They could be accepted as a sacrifice or for the Malvin. That would help, according to the first approach of the Malvin, help them determine, right, it could have gone either way. This would determine if it was a intermediary or if it was Hashem speaking to him directly. I guess he's coming as opposed to maybe like a flower offering, which normally would not be consumed. Not sure. Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer Elov, Malach HaElokim. And the Malach HaElokim said to him, Tachas HaBasar V'es HaMatzos, take the meat and the matzos, V'hanach El HaSela HaLaz, and place them on this rock, V'es HaMarok Shefoch, and pour the gravy, pour the soup, Vayas King, and he did so. Where is he pouring it? I think some of our say pour it out. It's going to be part of the carbon, but the Kliyakar says pour it on the meat and on the matzos. Right, and in that way, it would be wet, and it would be a greater miracle if the fire was able to consume it. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayishlach Malach Hashem. This was on Pesach. Right, so actually, I'm sure that they didn't, but in addition to that, I don't know, I think the Kliyakar actually only mentioned to pour it on the meat. I think, I don't think he said pour it on the matzah, but I don't think he would have a problem with it anyway. Right, it's a proof that a sem eats gebra. Yeah, Vayishlach Malach Hashem, and the Malach of Hashem sent out as Kitzei HaMishenes Asher Biyado, the end of the cane of the stick of the staff that was in his hand. Vayiga Vabasar Uvamatzos, and he touched with his stick the meat and the matzos. Vatala Eishning Asur, and a fire came up from the stone, from the rock. Vatokal es habasar ves hamatzos, and it consumed the meat and the matzos. Umalach Hashem halach me'inon, and the malach of Hashem went left from before his eyes. He departed. So the carbon is accepted. It's consumed. According to the first Sar of the Malvim, this would be a message that it was in fact Hashem speaking to him, and not the just an intermediary, or according to the second shot, this would be a sign that Hashem was not going to change from this nevuah. The Malbim makes a diuk that in Pasuk Chaf, in the previous verse, so it says, Vayomer Elo Malacha Elokim, and the Malach of Elokim said to him, and then in this Pasuk it says, Umalach Hashem, Vayishlach Malach Hashem, and the Malach of Hashem sent out his staff, and the Malach Hashem Halach Me'inov, and the Malach of Hashem disappeared from before his eyes. So you have Malach Elokim, and you have Malach Hashem. He says, Malach Elokim is referring to when it's an intermediary speaking to him. Malach Hashem is the Hashem directly through the, you know, through the goof of the Malach, but Hashem himself acting and accepting the carbon. So it was the Malach Elohim was the intermediary giving the instructions, but we see that the carbon was accepted directly from Hashem, again as a sign that either this was Hashem directly or that it was an oath that he would keep to his nevuah. The Ralbag, who we mentioned last week, had difficulty learning that this was a direct nevuah from Hashem. He had two reasons for why that would be. He said, first of all, because Sidon seems to be awake throughout, and that's a very high level of nevuah that only Moshe Rabbeinu had, and certainly Gidon did not have it, so it wasn't a nevuah. And additionally, why would Gidon be asking for signs if he was experiencing a real nevuah? And therefore, that second question we dealt with, the Malbim has explained why he might be asking for a sign. But therefore, the Ralbag learned that this was not Hashem directly, it was still the same Malach that was speaking to him before, which really was just a Navi, and it was the Navi Pinchas, as the Ralbag described before. Various Mefarshim brought that down from the Medrash, there was Pinchas. The Ralbag points out that this, the fire coming from the rock and consuming the carbon, is similar to the sign that Elio brought on Har Carmel, where a fire came down from heaven and consumed his carbon as well. I don't remember exactly where the fire came from, but a fire came and consumed his carbon. And we know that the Medrash tells us exactly what it means. It's another question, but that Pinchas was Eliyahu. It was all the same. That Pinchas to Eliyahu. So this fits very nicely together. The Ralbag says that this was This was Pinchas bringing this sign to Guido, and then we have Pinchas again, Pinchas to Eliyahu on Har HaCarmel, bringing this same sort of mofes of sign of proof, and that we don't really find by any other Nevi'im this type of oath. Pasuk Chas Beis Vayar Gidon Ki Malach Hashem Hu. And Gidon saw that this was a Malach of Hashem, that it was in fact Hashem speaking to him. Vayomer Gidon, and Gidon said, Aha Hashem Elokim Ki Alkein Ra'isi Malach Hashem Ponim El Ponim. Aha, Rashi says, is a lesson of Daga, it was Wurya. It was like, oh no. Or the Mitzvah Tzavik, Ata Hashem, you are Hashem, he was saying, but he was frightened over, Aching Ra'isi Malach Hashem, I've seen the Malach of Hashem, Panim El Panim, face to face. And again, we have this lashon of Malach Hashem, the angel of Hashem, that Gideon recognized that this was Hashem dealing with him directly. And he goes on and he says Gideon was frightened. We know Lo Yirani Adam L'Chai. A person, right? Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu when he requests, you know, show me your face, Hashem says, Lo Yirani Adam L'Chai, a person can't see me and live. And Gideon thought or felt that he was in some way seeing Hashem, seeing a Malach, that Hashem was speaking directly through, and he was therefore frightened that he was going to die. Sounds like a person may be able to see Hashem close to his death, the Malbim says, right before he dies, but otherwise no. The Ralbag says a similar thing, that he saw with his own eyes the Mitzvah HaRuchni, the spiritual existence, the spiritual manifestation of Hashem in some way, and it was known that if this would happen, it would usually bring about the person would die following that. And that's why we find that Yaakov, after his fight with the Malach, he says, Ki ra'isi Elokim panim ha'panim atinaseo nafsi, I saw Hashem's face to face, and I was saved. I think that wasn't normal that he would save. Also, after Matan Torah, the Ravag brings from the Pasuk, it says, I believe at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says, "Ve'latzilei b'nei Yisrael shalach yadu v'yachazu esar Elokim," that Hashem didn't send his hand out against the young people of Bnei Yisrael, and they had seen Hashem. But again, Hashem didn't send out his hand. But the implication is that normally, if you see Hashem in this way, so that's the next thing you're going to do is pass on to the next world. Yes. So I'm not sure. So Yaakov though describes that event. Yaakov describes that event as Ra'isi Elokim. I saw Elokim. So you might say that just refers to Malach. But it could be that he saw. But the Rabag is understanding that he also, in some way, at that event, saw some manifestation of Hashem at that event as well. Yes, we have to look at the Rabag Pirush Al Torah to see how he learns that event. In general, I haven't learned much Rabag Al Torah, but it's always a different approach than what we're used to. The Ralbag is a Rishon, so medieval commentator, very much shot-oriented, just dealing with the Pesukim, doesn't use Chazal so much, and at times also says things that are either controversial or just fascinating or unexpected, but he's accepted as a, he's a Rishon.
Is it different than
the
Okay, so
it's the times, around the Rambam, a little bit after the Rambam. Probably early, 13, I don't know exactly, but I would say around 1300, maybe. That's the Ralbach. So, Pasuk goes on. Vayomer lo Hashem. And Hashem said to him, Shalom lecha, peace unto you, al tira, do not fear, lo tamus, you're not going to die. And the response clearly, we see from that pasuk that's what he don't fear was, he was afraid he was going to die. Hashem responds, Shalom lecha, peace be upon you, al tira, do not fear, lo tamus, you are not going to die. The Malbim here speaks a little bit about the word shalom. We're going to spend some more time after we see the next pasuk, but just over here, the Malbim says that shalom, peace, is the opposite of death. That he was afraid for his life. Hashem says, shalom lecha, peace be upon you. The Malbim says that the reason why peace is the opposite of death is because death is the separation of the yisodos, the foundations that hold a person together, and when there's shalom, when there's peace in the body between the guf, between the body and the nefesh and the neshama, so then the person will not die. Hashem promises Pinchas, saying, well, if you see shalom, I'll give you a covenant of peace, and that's life and longevity, as we see Pinchas lived a very long time. And he says that it was also this peace, this consistency, this peace between the neshama and the guf that allowed him to see the mala, that the chomer, that the physicality was not overriding or covering his spiritual eye, the nefesh, in order to be able to see a mala. So it's this same peace between the neshama and the guf and the body that allowed him to see something of a spiritual nature. Pasuk of David, Vayiven Sham Gidon Mizbeach LaHashem, and Gidon built there a Mizbeach for Hashem. Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom, and he called it Hashem Shalom. Adayom Hazeh, it's there until today. Shmuel Hanavi is the, by the way, is the author of Sefer Shoftim. It says Adayom Hazeh until this day. It means in the days of Shmuel Hanavi, it was still there. Odenu be'Ofras Avi HaEzri, it's still in Ofras, in the property of Avi Ezer. You will still find the Mizbeach that Gidon built. So he calls the Mizbeach Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom. He called it Hashem Shalom. What does that mean? So, number of approaches. Rashi simply says he was saying Hashem who Shalomenu, Hashem is our peace. Hashem like, brings us peace. The Me'am Loewes points out that this was the Midah of Anava, the attribute of humility that Gidon possessed. Hashem told him, Shalom lecha, peace on you, that you're at peace. And he turns around and he, in his humility, he builds the Mizbeach and he says, no, the Shalom is because of you, Hashem. The Shalom, the peace, the Shlemus, the perfection is with you. Yeah. Right. Or, I would say it was Nebuah coming back to him. the nevuah that he had just had, and now the nevuah continues. Oh, so that gets into this. I think if you assume it's a real nevuah, then you'll assume it's in a dream. The Ralbag, as we mentioned, you know, says a lot of this seems to be awake, so it can't be a real nevuah. But Pashtus, I think the. Right. I don't think so. I think simply understood what he would say was in a dream. And he don't build the, and as a result though, so he goes and builds the Mizbeach. He calls the Hashem Shalom, either Hashem you are our peace, or Mitzudah Shavit just says, it means Hashem you spoke to me, you told me over here Hashem said to me Shalom. Hashem said to me Shalom over here in the previous verse where Hashem said to him Shalom Lecha. And the Malbim has a similar thing, Vayikro Lo Hashem. The Malbim is saying a different idea. He didn't call the Mizbeach Shalom. He built the Mizbeach. Vayikro Lo Hashem, and Hashem called to him Shalom, peace be upon you. And then you have to read that. Adei Yom Hazeh goes back on the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach is still there until this day. Chazal learned from this pasuk that one of the names of Hashem is actually Shalom. So learn from this pasuk, Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the Gemara says, you're not allowed, Gemara says in the name of Rav Hamnuna, in the name of Ula, Asur la'adam she'itin shalom l'chaveru b'beis ha'mercha. A person is not allowed to say shalom aleichem to his friend in a bathhouse, where people are unclothed, there's erva, and you're not allowed to speak in Divrei Torah, you're also not allowed to say Hashem's name, to say God's name in a bathhouse or in any other place that's considered unclean, a bathroom, a smelly, a garbage dump, whatever it might be. And it quotes from this pasuk, how do you know that you're not allowed to say shalom in a bathhouse? Because of this pasuk, Vayikro Lo Hashem Shalom. And he called to Hashem Shalom. He called Hashem Shalom. Gidon speaks out, Hashem Shalom. I'm not sure if he means Hashem. He's saying Hashem. I'm not sure if you read the pasuk, Vayikro Lo, and he called to him Hashem Shalom, Hashem and Shalom, both of his names, or Vayikro Lo Hashem, and he called to Hashem Shalom. But either way, he's calling Hashem's name Shalom. So the Gemara asks, we shouldn't be allowed to say the word emuna as well. Luis, because the pasuk says hakel hanemon. Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, it says, and you should know, he is the God, hakel hanemon. He is the trustworthy God. So we shouldn't, here it says Hashem Shalom, here it says Hakel HaNe'eman, you shouldn't be able to say Ne'eman either. So, and the Gemara says, and if you'll tell me that, maybe Enga Hanami, maybe that's true. Maybe that's the case, maybe you can't say. He says, no, we have a Memra, we have a statement that says like it is permitted to say Hey Menusa. You are allowed to say Ne'eman or Emuna in the Beis HaKisei. So what's the difference? So the Gemara answers, no, there it's not Hashem's name. Rather, it's a targum, it's a way of defining Hashem as Hakel HaNe'eman, he is the God who is trustworthy. But here, same Gufa Yikri Shalom. Here he's calling the name itself, he's saying Hashem's name is Shalom, as it says, Vayikro Lo Hashem Shalom, and Hashem called to, and he called to Hashem Shalom, he called Hashem's name Shalom. Tosfos asks, what do you mean? Shalom is also just defining what Hashem does for him. he's saying Hashem is the one who makes peace for us. So say the same thing. Like Hashem, Shalom is not the name of Hashem here. Shalom is just defining what Hashem does. Hashem makes peace. The Tosfos answer is that no. He's calling him Shalom because he makes Shalom. He's calling Hashem Shalom because Hashem makes Shalom, but he's not just defining Hashem as one who makes Shalom. He's giving him the name, it's true, he's giving him the name Shalom because he makes Shalom, but he's still giving him that name. It is still the name of Hashem. Because if he was just defining Hashem as one who makes Shalom, then he would have said, you know, Hashem Shlomo, Hashem is his peace, Hashem, peace is with Hashem. He would have said it in a different way, but Hashem Shalom is calling Hashem, giving Hashem the name Shalom. I don't think he's the first one that works. The Gemara is assuming that this is one of Hashem's names. Gideon's not making it up, but this is one of Hashem's names, and he's referring to him as this name, Shalom. Yes, but I don't think that opinion is saying that there are unlimited names of Hashem. I mean, that's a very hard idea to understand exactly what it means. Even the Ramban who touches on the idea that we're mentioning now is that there's a chazal, might be either a medrash or a zohar or both, that says that the Torah, the entire Torah, is most of the Torah Kodesh Baruch was made up of the names of Hashem. So the Ramban takes like the first few words of the Torah and kind of like breaks them up differently and shows that they can, but they don't each make Hashem's name. They make like a way of describing Hashem. But I think the Vilna Gaon understood that to mean that that's not in our order of the Torah. In the way that the Torah is ordered for us, it's not, you know, we don't see Hashem's name. But there's some other ways that the Torah was originally coded before Hashem decoded it for us. That in that way it was all smoked up like Hashem's bar, but it was all in the name of Hashem. The Marsha wondered that, very nice, okay, that it's clear from the way that Gideon said it that he was calling Hashem Shalom, as opposed to when it talks about Naaman, that we don't call him Naaman. But he says, why is it that way, though? Why is one of the names of Hashem Shalom, but Naaman, Emuna, is not one of the names of Hashem? What's unique about this right, it's a way of describing Hashem as the one who makes Shalom, who makes peace. But why does that certain specific attribute deserve to become one of Hashem's names, as opposed to the other attributes that we could use to describe him as Naaman, trustworthy, or Rachum, merciful, all those things? Those are not considered names of Hashem. So the Marsha says, Marsha explains based on a medrash. The medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah that when Hashem was going to create man, the malachim started to take sides. The malachim that represented the different attributes started to take sides. Faster than Emes, Tzedek and Shalom. Chesed said, kindness said, man should be created, because man will be Gomel Chasadim, man will do Chesed. Emes said, don't create man, because man is Kulo Sheker, man is full of deceit. Tzedek, righteousness, said, create him, because he's Oset Tzaka. Man gives Tzaka, he does acts of kindness. And Shalom said, Al Yivra, don't create him. The Kulei Tzatza, because man is all about argument, dispute. So on one hand we have Chesed and Tzedek saying, create man, and you have Emes and Shalom saying, don't create man. What did Hashem do? Okay, in the end, Hashem created man. So the Maharsha says that the attributes of Rachmanus and mercy and grace and chesed, those attributes, we see from this Medrash, we have those attributes as well. They're not specific to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are Hashem's partners in doing chesed, in having mercy, and therefore we're not going to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu by that name. They're descriptions of Hashem. We call he's the Kel Rachum Mechanon, but they aren't, we won't get a specific name because those are not specific to Hashem. We have those attributes as well. As opposed to Shalom, that man does not have this attribute, the attribute of peace. So therefore, that's unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll call he was a Rode Shalom. Yeah, so you have to understand, really this is a question on the Medrash. I don't know exactly what the Medrash means when it says, you know, if man is cool, it's all disputes, or man is all about sheker. I don't know exactly what the Medrash means, but on some level, the Medrash means that on some level we are all sheker, and we're all ketata. Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know on what level we mean that we don't have Shalom, but the Medrash says we don't. The Medrash says we can't, don't create man because they're all about dispute. So we have Shalom on some level, but whatever that level that is, there's a level of Shalom that's unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that maybe Aaron was an exception. So therefore, that's why Hashem gets the name Shalom. Why not the name Emes? Right? Emes also, the Malachim said that man kulo sheker, he's all deceit. Don't create man. He doesn't have Emes. So that's also unique to Hashem. So Marsha says, but we know that the Chosim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. The signature of Hashem is Emes. What that means, I don't know, but that's the Chazal, and therefore it doesn't have to get the name of Emes because already he has that his signature is Emes.